Good evening. Please see this many out to study God's Word. We welcome the visitors. We invite you back every opportunity you have. We invite you to open up your Bibles and study right along with us. Appreciate a couple of the songs that Tim led so far this evening. I think it'll tie in for our lesson. It's good to have this type of opportunity for, I don't know how young I am, but for the men to come up and be able to take turns speaking. Just we read in scripture reading this evening, the laborers are few. We do need men out teaching the gospel. And any way we can encourage young men to try to stand up for the truth and teach God's word, we need to back them up. We need to support them. We need to hold our hands up and give them every opportunity they can have in trying to preach that gospel. This morning, I thought about four different sermon outlines I've been studying all week. And from the conversation I had with Brother Earl when we went up to my dad's yesterday, then the lesson that Brother Tim had this morning about Christians. And what is the Church of Christ? The fact is, as he mentioned, just because we got the name Church of Christ above the door, don't make us the right church. Don't make us the right congregation. And we need to understand that. And we need to compare ourselves, compare to the Scriptures, and make sure we're doing the things that are in accordance to God's will. Please turn with me over to the chapter. I'd like to discuss a little bit about verses 13 through chapter 26 and verse 31. We're not going to read it all. We'll just go through it briefly so I can get into my lesson. But the fact is, Paul is standing before Felix, and he tells him the things that were going on, how he became a Christian, and how the Jews were persecuting him, and things that was going on up to this point. And Festus couldn't find anything wrong with him. He offered to release him to some degree, but he said he made his appeal to Caesar, and that's where he is headed. And we get down to chapter 25 and begin with verse 13. Paul appears before Agrippa and Festus. Festus told Agrippa about this man that appeared before him. And he could have been bought with a price and released, because he hadn't done anything wrong. But he wanted to appeal to Caesar. You need to listen to this man, what he has to say. So the next morning, in verse 23, said on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, was entered to the place of hearing with the chief captains, principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And they started talking again. And again, Paul brings out the fact that what he had to go through to become a Christian, and how he persecuted Christians at one point and then became a Christian, and now is teaching God's Word. And we go down to chapter 26 and begin with verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, O must thou persuadest me to be a Christian? And Paul said, I would to God, and not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And that's what we're going to discuss this evening. Almost Christians. And there are those that we will teach and give the gospel to, and they know what they need to do to become a Christian. But what I want to deal with this evening is those who have become Christians, but not all the way. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. And verse 1 and 2. It states the fact that when we become Christians, when we're baptized, we need to grow. We need to be transformed. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By human standards, we're not really in the world. By Christ's standard, we're not really Christians at times, are we? Have we ever really sat back and thought about that? How some of us claim to be Christians, just like some of the congregations claim to be the churches of Christ, but don't do the will of God, don't follow after the command as they should. We want to look at a few examples this evening that those who were almost Christians and how they stood before God. Turn with me to Revelation, the third chapter. And begin at verse 14. And to the angels of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, a white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What did John say about the church there at Laodicea? Verse 16, they were lukewarm. Yeah. I like my pop. Cold, not lukewarm. When you open up that bottle and you get that first sip, you get that lukewarm pop in your mouth. Even coffee. I drink coffee once in a while. I can't stand it. Same way with water a little bit. When I was growing up, I used to fill up a pitcher and just dump ice in it and just drink away as long as it was cold. That's how we look before God. He spews us out of His mouth because we're lukewarm. We're not either hot or cold. And we as Christians need to be hot. He goes down in the later verse and says, you need to be zealous in doing my will. You need to be zealous in following my commands. And we need to understand that. We need to take these verses and apply. Sometimes we're not against the Lord at times, but sometimes we're not really committed to God as we should be. And that is an impossible situation that we can be in. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other. Else he will hold to the one, despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. We can't serve two. We are make a choice. We are serve God all the way, or we serve Satan, the devil. There's no half. We can't stand in the middle of the fence and try to have it both ways. But a lot of us that try to do that, at times. And we need to be careful that we don't. As I thought about the past and some of the sermon outlines I used to hear at times, I don't hear them anymore. We've backed off. We've got to the point where we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings when we present the gospel. And we need to understand that we need to be zealous. We need to be forceful, speak boldly. We need to back up what we teach and what we say. We need to be honorable to the will of God. I'm not saying that we need to help those who are weak. I believe we need to teach them. We need to work with them. But it comes to the point where that growth, if it's stymated, you need to do something about it. The church needs to apply church discipline. And we need to understand that. But we've failed in teaching. I used to have sermon outlines about movies, about dancing, about gambling, about drinking. You don't hear those things much anymore. You don't hear them touched. Prom? Hear anything about them anymore? Just lightly touched. But to be presented and brought out what's wrong with it. Sometimes we backed off. The way the church ought to behave themselves. The way we need to be respectful to God. Christ died for us. And we need to understand that. And if I'm going to devote myself to something, don't you go all the way in? I'm a diehard Pirate fan. I'll be the first one to admit it. And no matter how bad they get, I keep rooting them on. And finally, they're starting to look half decent, but they're still a little bit away. But the fact is, I never gave up on them. I committed myself to them to some degree. But at the same time, God came first. God comes first in my life. It should be. At all times. I'm not saying I don't sin or I make mistakes. But the fact is, we strive to do what God wants us to do. We try to do the best of our ability in accordance to God's Word. We study it at all times. We apply it to ourselves, not to others. We need to be humble. We fail to do that at times. In verse 18 of Revelation, the third chapter, it says, they were to buy from me gold refined in the fire. The gospel. Devote yourself to it. You're in all the way. Soul's lost. That's as plain as I can be with it. My dad the other day gave me, 2 weeks ago, I used to put out a bulletin right before I got married and right after we got married, had one of them old mimeograph machines. And some of the letters didn't come out and I had to fill in the blanks with my handwriting. That was kind of hard to do. But I tried to print the best I could. And then I used to drop them off to different congregations on the way down. I used to use the term in there. And one of the brothers got really upset with me about it. So-called Christians. There was so much false teaching at that time. I'm talking back in the 70s. 74, 73. That was entering into the church at this time. As this was trying to enter in this area, within these small congregations, I was trying to hit upon it as much as I could at that time. And I always used the term so-called Christians would not teach this if they would read and study God's Word as they're supposed to. And one of the brothers really got upset with me and said, "Why are they so-called? Well, you're either committed to God or you're not. and to call yourself a Christian and do things contrary to God's will, you're not really a Christian, are you? Just like that congregation that wears that title, Church of Christ, don't always mean it's sound. Don't always mean they're right. But a brother that is trying to study and improve himself and do what God says and trying to change maybe out of the false teaching, I'll give them credit. They are trying. They're trying to study and find the truth. But those who didn't care and just kept leading congregations away, they're so-called Christians. They're no longer members of the body of Christ in accordance to the Scriptures. We need to understand that. Used to be, growing up, we could go to 15, 20 congregations nearby for a gospel meeting. Now, we got to drive, an hour and a half to, about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour to Moundsville, maybe 45 minutes up to Thomas Run. Toronto is probably about the closest around here besides New Cumberland that are sound. Go to Little Washington, you're talking another 45 minutes, maybe a half hour if you got a lead foot. I mean, think about it. How times have changed. And we've gotten lukewarm because we don't stand up for the truth as we should. Let's go to Acts 8 chapter. Another example of Simon. And verses 9 through 21. Again, we won't read all these verses. But the fact is, Simon was one that used sorcery in verse 9 of that chapter. And he listened to what the apostles were teaching at that time and seeing the power that they had. He became a Christian. He was baptized. But what was one of the first things he did after he became a member? Tried to buy the power off one of the apostles. I'll give you money. Just give me the power to do the things that you do. Hand me the things that I can do these things as you do them. What was he told? Verse 19, verse 20 of the same chapter, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, for this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. He was still cardinal-minded. Wasn't very old Christian. He just became one. But he was told to repent. You make it right with God. You have that change. Pray to God that He will forgive you for the attitude that you have. And we as Christians need to make sure that we're not part of the world. In James, the 4th chapter, and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whatsoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We are for the world. We are for God. Well, we're against it. Christians cannot love the world in 1 John, the 2nd chapter. And beginning with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We need to leave those things alone that will lead us away from God. We need to be careful to act like the world. Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2 said we need to be transformed. We do not need to be conformed to the world. Conversation I had Saturday with an individual stated the fact that he remembered a time when he worked in behind the store. He had a good talk with some of the truckers that came in. And he talked to them on a daily basis. And he got to know some of them pretty good. And a lot of them were good individuals. But he had this one trucker that came in, used every type of word that you can imagine that is unfit for anybody to say. Well, a few months later, this individual went to a gospel meeting down a little town nearby. And guess who was there? That truck driver that used the foul language. He was a member of the church. Now the question was, would anybody have known? What would you think? First impression of that. See? He didn't transform himself from the world. He conformed to it. Sometimes the way we talk, sometimes the way we act, sometimes the way we dress shows what we believe in. And we need to understand that. The things we do in our daily lives impress others. We are Christians or we're not. And we need to understand that. I'm not trying to be mean about it. But the fact is, truth needs to be taught. And it needs to be taught strongly. And we need to stand up for what's right. Yeah, there's some movies that you got to really watch. And sometimes you get that G-rated. And you really think it's going to be a nice, clean movie for the kids to sit down. And all of a sudden you hear something that you didn't want to hear. And the first thing you say to your kids is, don't pay attention to that. Where have we gone throughout the ages? We've really, and this is only my opinion, sometimes I think we've really strayed away from what the Lord had to teach at times. I don't think we're as strong as we used to be. We need to separate ourselves and those of the world. And the Christians need to seek upon those who things that are above. The song was just got finished singing a few minutes ago. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Do we truly believe that song? Now the next thing I want to bring up is Acts 5th chapter. Another example. In verses 1 through 10, everybody knows these two, Ananias and Sapphira. They came to the church. They claimed they sold their property for a certain amount of money, brought it to the apostles' feet, and laid it and said, here it is, all of it. And they could have kept part of it. There had been nothing wrong. But they lied about it. They wanted to look just as important as the others, but only gave a portion. They lied. What's the scripture teach about lying? All liars go to eternal damnation? I want to bring up some questions. You think about it. when we pray, bring us back together at the next appointed time. And when we offer that prayer, do we truly mean that? Well, we have no desire that something will happen that we won't be there. We sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then we go everywhere else instead of worship service when the Christians are together to worship God. I'm guilty of part of this. Sing to the work, and then we don't do anything. To the work, to the work. To the harvest fields, I'll go. Are we? We sing those songs. We're lying. You realize what we're doing? We're lying. Sing those songs. And we don't do the things that we're singing. We're lying when we say that we're a Christian and we don't do the things in accordance with God's will to the best of our ability. And all liars go to perdition. That's what the Scriptures teach. Do we seek the kingdom first? Does it come before everything else in our life? How often do we study at home? How often do you pick up your Bible? I'm finding out I'm really starting to love the internet. Because I can get on congregations of some brethren and I can download a lot of material that they've used for study. And I'm just getting to the point, I don't have any more room in my office. I'm going to have to start getting rid of some things because I'm getting crowded. Because I'm just a fanatic right now on trying to download as much information I can get to study. I don't study all the time. I'd be the first one to admit I maybe need to study a lot more in what I do. But when I can, I try to go up there in that office and study. Look at material over. See what I can find. See what I've missed. There's some application that I haven't thought of that would apply. How often do we do that at home? It's so easy now with the modern equipment that we have. There's no excuse. The only thing I haven't learned to download is the reading of the Bible. I can't get the computer to do that for some reason. I have to call Chuck up, have him come to the house, show me what I'm doing wrong. But the fact is, there's so much material out there we can use for our study, for our betterment. We as individuals should be able to come up with scriptures out of our thoughts of our mind easily. But we're not like the older brethren. We're not like a lot of the older preachers that we used to have in the body of Christ. I know men that do gospel meetings and they use the same sermon outlines from this town to this town and that town. But I never got tired of hearing it. The way they presented it, the way they brought it out, the conviction that they had behind when they taught it, you never get tired of hearing it. Matter of fact, you pick up on things that you didn't hear the first time or the second time or the third or the fourth. That's the way it should be. Do we truly love Christ for what He's done for us? Have we really sat back and thought about what He went through? Yeah, I've been in some pain and agony at times. I can't imagine. And as I talked to my dad the other day, I can't imagine worrying so much that my sweat becomes like drops of blood. I worry. I'd be one of the first ones to say, I worry. I worry about things. I get upset about things. But never to the point of that. Christ did that. Ever realize Christ knew what was coming? When he asked God, please take this cup away from me. But whatever thy will is, it will be done. Have we thought about that? He was totally committed to us. To save our souls from eternal damnation. My question is this evening, are you a Christian? Or are you almost a Christian? There's a difference. One will get you to heaven. The other will get you to eternal damnation. I've talked to brethren, and it upsets me. I'll be downright honest. It upsets me. That years ago, when brethren used to go on vacation or out of town, they usually try to find out if there's a congregation in that town so that they could worship. Nowadays, when we take a vacation, we take a vacation. We don't worship God at all. We don't attend services anywhere else. Why? And you claim to be a faithful Christian? We need to think about these things, brethren, sisters. We need to take a good hard look. How do I stand before God? Am I representing the truth as it should be? Or am I one of those that try to straddle the fence, claiming to be a Christian, but not? The title of the song is Almost Persuaded. I plead with you just like Paul did to Agrippa. I don't want you almost. Paraphrase, I want you to be all the way. I want you to be a Christian. I want your soul saved. That's what he told Agrippa. I want your soul saved. And others that hear the gospel, I want them saved. Almost. Commit. Maybe one here this evening has not yet obeyed the will of God. You must hear His word. Believe that Christ came down and lived upon this earth, died upon that cross. Repent. Must be willing to change your life. Live for God, not for ourselves. Confess. By mouth confession. That He can confess us before His Father. Be baptized by immersion. Buried with Him in a watery grave. Risen up in new creature. We're different. We're pure. We're white as snow. And we need to try to live that style of life. I'm not saying we won't fall. We won't trip. We all stumble. We all make mistakes. It is hard to overcome some temptations, sin. But we need to work on it. We need to strive all times to do such. So there, God gave us that if we have fallen, brought reproach upon the church, upon ourselves, there's a way to take care of that. Repent. Go to God in prayer for forgiveness of your sin. It's your soul. It's your destiny. The question is, are you a Christian or almost? Think about those things if we sing the song, Invitation.